From the KRCU Newsroom, I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. Nearly 200,000 people are gearing up to join the Women's March on Washington this Saturday. The grassroots movement has garnered widespread support from women all over the country to stand in solidarity for women's rights. Dr. Julie Ray, the department chair of the College of Education at Southeast, is one of many women from the Southeast Missouri area making the trip to D.C. Recently, she penned an open letter on Facebook explaining the importance of a march like this, even noting her own experiences of gender inequality, professional accomplishments being undermined, and more personal stories of being physically harassed at a sporting event. Dr. Ray joined me in the studio to talk more about why she's going.
There is something in this post that I want to read, and I want your response on it.
Okay.
You said, "I am attending to speak for women, for my grandmother, my mother, my daughters, granddaughter, and nieces, my girlfriends, female colleagues, students, and all the little girls out there. I want to publicly state that their lives have value and worth, and that none of us are objects to be possessed, fondled, discredited, or considered less capable because of our gender." What did you mean by that?
Well, it was interesting. When I heard about the Women's March, I just instinctively knew that I wanted to go. And then when I shared that with a few people, the first question I would get was, "Why do you want to do that?" And I had trouble answering them, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to do something like this, I need to be able to understand why. I need to be able to put it into words. And that was really when I wrote the Facebook posting about why I am going to the Women's March. It was really more for me, I think, than for other people. And I even said, you know, I'm not trying to get people's affirmation or approval or acceptance that I'm doing this. I just had to process it for myself. So when I asked myself that question about why did I have such a gut reaction to, yes, I've got to be a part of this, I didn't even know the details or what it was. I just knew I had to be there. And I think it was because of this feeling of wanting to speak for women, the older generation that perhaps didn't have a voice. I think about my grandmother, who there's a scholarship endowed in her name now, who wasn't able to get an education, and primarily, I think, because of being a woman growing up at the time period that she did. And my mother, the same way, the expectation that you have when you're a woman in the 50s and what you can and can't do, especially if you live in rural conservative areas. And then even when I was in high school and I was told this is, you know, a good occupation for a woman, my choices in life were defined a lot by my gender. And now I look at my granddaughter and hear different things that she says or things that are said to her. For example, she can be feisty, and I love that about her, but she's been told, "Quit being so bossy." But I don't hear that said to her brother. And, you know, I question, what does that mean, you know, to be a female and to try and make your place in this world? And are we defined by who we are as our gender as opposed to who we are as people? And so I think that was part of my thinking when I was writing that. But then certainly the election, the campaign, and all the rhetoric with our first female candidate brought out a lot to the surface about, you know, how as a female candidate, she was judged often by appearance. She was judged by words that she said that perhaps didn't get the same judgment if they had been spoken by a man. And it just really seemed to bring to light a lot of the differences in how women are treated as compared to men in terms of their worth and their value. You know, does your hair and your outfit, the clothes you choose to wear, define who you are? And that seemed to be a lot of what the rhetoric was. And so I just wanted to take a stand and say, no, we are so much more than appearance. We are so much more than our bodies or our gender. And I want to say that.
So with that being said, you are also going with the other group of women from this area. How did that all come about? Like, how did that arrangement happen?
Well, it started with Dr. Diana Rogers Atkinson, who just put the idea out there and said, I'm going to reserve a bus, and if we can get 50 people to go, then we can pay for the bus. And so it was really through a Facebook posting and just spreading of word. There wasn't a lot of marketing about it or a lot of publicity about it. And there's been, I think, really, again, this grassroots response to it, that people from all over have said, yes, I want to be a part of this. And I know the bus is full with a waiting list now, and it's people from all over Southeast Missouri. Some people are coming down from St. Louis and joining us because the St. Louis buses are full. If you know anything about the march, it really started with just one grandmother in Hawaii who, after the election results, wanted to do something and posted it on Facebook, and then it just exploded with other women identifying and saying, yes, I want to be a part of this. And so you had the national group organizing, and then the different states became part of that. And I would say pretty much it happened through Facebook. And so there's a national Facebook page and a state Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And then we have the local Cape Girardeau Facebook page that we just spread words. We spread the word. We invited people to be a part of it. And it's really interesting. There are women from all walks of life, women of different ages. We have college students going. We have senior citizens going. We have women of, different backgrounds, women with different, gender identity, women that just the one thing I think we have in common, though, is this passion of wanting to speak up for women.
There are different women going to this march, and this march means different things for different women. And when we had spoke earlier about this, you said, I am a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And my perspective on things is very different. My experiences are different from someone who might be a woman of color, a woman who is a part of the LGBT community, a woman who is maybe pro-choice. Where do you align yourself with this march and all the people that are going? How do you all come together at the same table to have this conversation that's important in today's society now?
Right. Well, I think, just in general, I tend to be more moderate in my views. I've voted both Republican, I've voted Democrat. I have certain candidates I've liked and certain candidates that have repulsed me. And so I probably am not strongly in one camp or the other. I see myself more as wanting to be a uniter as opposed to a divider. And sometimes I think when you identify with one specific group or issue, it can be divisive. And so part of what I want to do is to go and to listen to others, to understand their perspectives better. I feel like I'm always learning and need to learn more because I only do know my lived experience and my perspective. And when I talk about some of the, sexism that I have encountered throughout my life, I feel like, well, maybe my complaints are really small compared to what other women have experienced. And so I want to hear their voices. I want to understand better. I want to be able to speak up for them better. I know there will be people at the rally. There are, over 100 different causes that are participating that have signed on to be a part of it. And I know there will be some groups that perhaps I don't agree with, some groups that won't agree with me. But if we can look at what we have in common, what unites us as opposed to what divides us, I think we will be so much stronger. I love this country, and I am so concerned about how divided it is. And it feels like unless we come together and listen to each other and listen with respect, listen with an openness to learn and to better understand each other, then, I don't see how we can come together as long as we're yelling at each other, fighting with each other, as opposed to just really trying to understand and appreciate each other.
Well, with that being said, do you think that this march will change anything in years to come?
I think it will, because it's causing people such as myself who perhaps have not been as an activist or not been very politically outspoken to say, look, this is not right. We've got to speak up. We've got to make a difference. I've always tried to do advocacy for my field in early childhood, speaking out for children's rights, but I haven't been as politically active with women's issues, and I feel myself really being called to do that and to speak out however I can. So whether that means, calling a legislator or writing a letter or just talking with others. And I don't think I'm alone with that. I know, you know, a lot of the publicity has said that this march is really bringing about a new wave of activism and a new wave of people who have never been politically, you know, active to want to speak out. So a lot of women like me, you know, middle-aged Midwestern white woman that just wants to make a difference and wants to speak up. So I think we are going to start seeing more a groundswell of women who are not content to be quiet anymore about what's happening. And so whether it is for women's reproductive rights or whether it's to continue to address the pay inequity in salaries because of gender. I don't think this is going to be a one-time effort. I think this is just really the beginning of something, and that's partly, I think, why I wanted to be a part of it. When I look, you know, I was a child in the '60s, so I missed that opportunity to be involved in anything politically, and so I didn't want to miss out on this. I think this will be a historic event. I think we'll look back on it the way we've looked back on other historic rallies. I know the political historians say the last time a large group of women got together and marched was back in 1913 for the right to vote with Woodrow Wilson's inauguration. And so I want to be a part of something that's bigger than me with this historical event. And I believe this historical event will be that it will be something we'll talk about in years to come and that things will come out of that in some way. I think groups will continue to unite, to coalesce. I think connections are going to be made. And so it's exciting to be a part of it.
And how long will you all be there for the march?
For the day, we're driving through the night, Friday night. We'll be at the march all day and then returning to Cape Girardeau on Sunday. So it's a quick trip. And so it'll be, I think, a bonding experience with 50, 55 women on a bus going to Washington, D.C. and back. But I'm looking forward to it. We've already been, you know, joking on Facebook about our new best friends that we're all going to be when this is over. And again, I hope for new relationships, for new perspectives. I hope to have the opportunity to sit and just listen to hear people hear their stories, because I don't think my story is unique of why I want to go. But I want to hear about other women's stories, about what motivated them to want to participate, because it is a sacrifice. It's going to be, I'm sure, very tiring. It's a financial sacrifice to go, and I'm grateful for those who made donations, that there are some scholarships available for women who couldn't afford to go or are going to be able to. And so I'm just really looking forward to hearing women's stories and getting to know them and understanding them a little better.
And then to kind of wrap things up, what does it mean to be a woman in 2017?
Well, I think it means a lot. I teach in the early childhood program here at Southeast, and so my students are, you know, 98% female, because it's a very female-dominated occupation. And so I look at them and I listen to them, and then I think about my own life in terms of what it means to be a woman. I think and then I think again about my 11-year-old granddaughter and what will it mean for her to be a woman. And I think that definitely the opportunities for women are so much more, and I'm so grateful for the women before me that opened up opportunities for me, as well as, you know, what's ahead for women. But for me to be a woman in 2017, I think I embrace my gender, I embrace my femininity, but I also don't want to apologize for that or feel like a second-class citizen. I want to be treated equally. I want to be valued for my mind and for my accomplishments, and not just because I'm a missus or, you know, I'm a female. And so I think it's an exciting time to be a woman. I think we still have a lot of work to do. I mean, when you look at the magazine covers and, you know, celebrities that are all, you know, I guess made popular, or it still seems that appearance matters, that hair and weight and all of those things that seem to be so important for women but not so much for men, we've still got a lot of work to do. And so I think the battle is still before us, that we've still got a lot to do to say that women matter, women count, women have value, and the value is not based upon just our gender and based upon our appearance.
Well, thank you so much for joining me and talking to me about all of this. I really do appreciate it.
You're welcome.